Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Today we're going to be talking about a man. Actually, there's going to be a lot of people we're talking about, but this is a focus on a man that really was out in front, you might say, relative to environment and what they called eco-theologians. If you haven't heard that term, don't feel badly. I hadn't either. It is a term that really relates to the caretaking and the awareness that our earth that we occupy, that we have to be good custodians with and learn how to interact in our environments in a much more balanced way. My guest today is Alan Combs, and we're going to be talking about Thomas Berry, Dreamer of the Earth, and on the front of the book it says The Spiritual Ecology of the Father of Environmentalism. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Now, you, along with Irvin Laszlo,
right,
who lives in Europe, and this is something that this man has been so dedicated with the Club of Budapest to really making a difference in life, along with many other people, and he lives in Pisa, Italy. But you are a professor, and you're at the California Institute of Integral Studies.
You are
the co-director of those studies at the Graduate Institute of Connecticut, and you were a founding member of the Integral Foundation. You've done a lot of writing, and you and Irvin decided that you were going to come together to present information about Thomas Berry. How did you become aware of him, and in your personal experience, how was he significant to you?
Well, Thomas Berry is one of those people who has influenced a lot of people who have influenced you.
That sort of thing.
He wasn't that well known to the general public, I think, until recently. But really a source of inspiration for a lot of people who are active today. I think he was better known on the East Coast than out here on the West Coast where I live now. I used to live in North Carolina for years, and he was well-known there because that's where he came from. But he was one of the first people, along with Buckminster Fuller and, of course, Irvin Laszlo and a few others, who framed ecological issues in a very large picture. His idea, and this was true of Buckminster Fuller as well, is for any important question, you start with the universe, and then you move in the direction of whatever the particular issues are. I think we have a kind of orientation these days, especially in the U.S., but I won't call names because we do very well, but there are a lot of problems out there of trying to solve the problem at a local level, trying to just get it fixed as quick as we can, you know. That's what we call a bottom-up approach, fix the thing at the bottom and hope it'll go away. Thomas Berry was famous for saying the cosmos is the only text for which there's no other context. We start with the universe, and he was a Catholic priest, and he was very interested, as more and more people are today, in finding a kind of connection between spirituality and even religion. Of course, he was a Catholic priest, so a Christian, and a celebration of the wonders of the cosmos. So rather than wrangling over issues of evolution and this and that, he was very interested in framing the religious vision in a vision of the cosmos and the unfolding, the evolutionary unfolding of the whole cosmos. He worked, you may know, early on with one of my colleagues, Swim, who they wrote a book together, actually, a few years ago, and there is a movie out right now that is titled, let's see, it's not the Universe Story. It's called The Journey of the Universe, with Swim as one of the chief commentators in that. So the idea is to create a kind of vision of the cosmos that's very large and celebrates its spiritual depth and dimension, and understand ourselves as the living fruit of that evolutionary celebration of that evolutionary context. And as I said, he worked with Brian Swim, who's still very active, and this movie's traveling around right now, The Universe Story. Brian had written a book a number of years ago called The Universe is a Green Dragon, which was quite popular in sort of the underground press. I think that was 10, 15 years ago, and never really hit the big market, but he and Brian then wrote a book called The Universe Story, which was, I think, published by the Sierra Club, and it got a lot of circulation. But Thomas Berry was really a unique kind of person. He was a kind of a sage, and yet he was sort of a poet, very, very real, warm person. I was fortunate to have met him and heard him speak a number of times when I lived in North Carolina. He came from the woods in the forest down near Greensboro, and he carried that always with him, that sort of... it was almost like you were talking to someone who had lived in the forest, and that was sort of his final way of seeing things in a way. The person who was close to the earth, and close to the forest, close to the life of the earth. That was really his great passion. In fact, as a priest, he often said late in his life that traditionally in Christianity there have been two great books of wisdom. The Bible and nature. And he often said, maybe it's time to put the Bible down for 10 or 20 years and just come to appreciate the great, great lessons in nature.
Well, I found it quite interesting in the book, The Thomas Berry Dreamer of the Earth, that you had, along with Irvin, interviewed a number of people that had known him. And again, I concur with you. He's quite an interesting man, because it's almost as if he came in with a roadmap for action, and that he was a Catholic priest is no big deal in my view, because this is a man that ended up studying history. He was very interested in history, ended up studying Sanskrit so that he could understand various components of the Indian culture and their language and, you know, the various spiritual aspects of that culture that are centuries old. And he got involved with things in the Philippines, and he really was a man that was, I think, very eclectic in his thinking, but at the same time had a clarity with his thinking that was really far in advance of a lot of people. And perhaps the reason that he wasn't really well known is that many times people think just because someone has a religious association that they're not going to think. You know, they're just stuck in dogma, or gee whiz, there's this, that, or the other. That wasn't the case with him. It's as if he chose a particular environment so that he could do the study, so that he could immerse himself. I mean, how many people are going to have the time to do what he did in the way of research?
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, he was a historian, and, you know, he started out as a historian around the turn of the century, or I say the middle of the century, around the 1950s, and then, as you said, lived in and studied Buddhism and Hinduism in Asia, and actually learned Sanskrit and Chinese, some of the Chinese languages. And was a prominent historian, but he wasn't really well known. I mean, historians are academics. He was an academic. It was really, there was a kind of a break. He wrote a book on the religions of India in 1972, and then nothing comes out again in terms of a major work until 1988 with this book, The Dream of the Earth, that just, for those who read it, it just changed their lives, because it was such a vision of spirituality in the cosmos. So that's where he made the big shift. And that's where he began to talk about eco-theology, that the earth is the reference for all really relevant values in economies and the way that we understand the world that we live in. So The Dream of the Earth was a powerful book. I actually thought it would make a great foundation for a university because he had something to say for every department. Earth art, earth values. He was very strong on the idea that when we try to solve problems and we ignore the earth and what it brings to us, that we only get temporary solutions. For example, the gross national product is a very, I don't want to say it's false, but, you know, if you and I go to court, have a battle, hire some attorneys, and get nothing done except try to, you know, sue each other, that all goes into the gross national product, but it doesn't mean anything has actually been created.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a big advocate of something more like a gross earth product, a geo product. What's the real value in things? So this was a real change for him, and it was with that book and then the work after that that he began to influence people that really influenced people.
He talks about the emerging ecozoic period that he feels we're in right now, and he has a number of terms that he utilizes. And what he was really concerned with, and he lived to be 94 years of age when he passed, and that was just recently in 2009.
Wasn't that long ago? Yes, that's why we put the book together, because it was in celebration of his
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm. But he brings out a statement here, and I'm going to quote it directly from the book. A primary aspect of the ecozoic period is that we recognize the larger community of life as our primary referent in terms of reality and value. This locating of the higher reality and the higher value in the larger community is absolutely primary. And it goes to the basic principle that everything in life is connected. And we need to honor and respect things. And this is really a tough challenge to evolve into that until we realize if we don't take care of the environment, we poison ourselves. We are going to create illnesses and diseases, not just for us, but for the rest of the life forms that are on this planet. And not only that, but if we kill off our food supply, sorry, folks, we're not going to be around. I mean, we have to look at the bigger picture. And for so many generations, for so many centuries, people were so isolated, they didn't realize that if they overfished, that they wouldn't have food.
We never had the capacity to exhaust whole populations of fish and birds and so on until recently. I think the first time I really realized how fragile things were is with the passage of the passenger pigeon. You know, that in the U.S. there were so many of them that they darkened the skies when they came over.
Mm-hmm.
It became popular to, I guess, late 1800s, early 1900s, to shoot them for their feathers, and eventually they went extinct. It was a population that you never could have even imagined that this could happen. And, of course, this is what's going on with fish all over the place, and it's a fragile web. It's a fragile network. And one of the things about Thomas Berry was he saw, as he said, the human. He always referred to us as the human when he wrote, as part of the natural world. And and he celebrated all of nature. He was a great believer in, or I should say, honored wildness, wild animals, and wild nature. And in some ways, I think he was a kind of modern shaman. A lot of people have referred to him as a modern shaman because this wild aspect to our own nature was certainly an important part of his understanding of who we are and what we are. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Human beings have never been domesticated. You know, you stop and think about it. we've got domesticated animals and domesticated plants, but we've never been domesticated. We're not domesticated. We're wild creatures in a way.
I think the only ones that could ever have been considered domesticated were slaves, and they were domesticated by other humans.
Yes, and that was more of a social domestication. They weren't, I don't think, ever, you know, fortunately, effectively bred long enough to you know, really change their genetics the way we do with other animals and, you know, other creatures.
Well, I find that when you look through history, the Hawaiian history is replete with stories about how the Polynesians in the past learned how to do aqua farming. I was really surprised when I learned many years ago that the Hawaiians were extremely good at the aqua farms. And the reason they did it is that they had the Polynesian culture, as they had evolved from different places in the earth, they realized that when they fished out everything, they were in deep trouble. And in the Hawaiian Islands, there were taboos that were made by the chiefs. If too much was fished, bingo. That was taboo. They're actually
this is news to me, and the Hawaiian Islands are out in the middle of the ocean, so really hard to imagine.
They have aqua farms, yes.
Well, and you know the story of Easter Island, no doubt.
Yes, I do.
Irvin Lasso writes about it a great deal, that there was a rich culture there, and they basically did on a small scale what we're in danger of doing here, and that is just over-farming and over-harvesting until there was just virtually nothing left. When the first Europeans arrived there, there were just a few people living in an abject state of poverty. And yet, you know, there had been a culture there that had built these huge big Easter Island statues, very rich, but ran out of control. And being at little islands out in the sea, they didn't really have access to anything else. Evidently didn't have the wisdom of the folks you're talking about.
Well, they learned. They learned. And when I found out about this, I thought, this is really fascinating. And yet the Europeans, when they came into the Hawaiian Islands, they totally ignored the wisdom of these people.
Yep.
So this is something that was sort of lost. But when you're feeding masses of people, like we have got 7 billion plus on this planet at this time, you're going to have to feed them somehow. So it takes a different level of thinking to be able to take care of this. And I really liked a comment that was in the section that was put together by Matthew Fox. He said that Thomas Berry calls all of us to fall in love with the world in spite of the folly of human history. And I thought, this is powerful because we need to understand we can make changes. We need to understand we can make a difference. And it is something that maybe we can't reverse what we've already destroyed, but we can take care of what we've got and go forward in a positive way. And there's a lot of people out there that are trying to do that.
There certainly are, and Matthew Fox is one of them. He's an interesting guy himself, you know. He's been sort of issued out of the Catholic Church, as he says. He got up one morning and realized and found out he'd been fired, as he put it. And so he didn't have a job anymore, referring to the fact he wasn't a priest. But he's very much in the same kind of mind that Thomas Berry was in, and he really appreciates the sort of connection between the human spirit and wild nature. And he'd been doing these raves, if you can believe it or not, a priest doing raves, but he gets all these young folks together, and he does this all over the world now in large groups, and they play music and they dance, but it's all, it's not drug-driven or anything. It's all in celebration. He's, believe it or not, he's been invited now to be an Anglican priest, so he said now he has a job again. But he goes he goes around and talks and does these, I shouldn't probably refer to them as raves, but that's what he refers to them as wild celebrations of human nature as part of the cosmos. You know, one of the things that Thomas Berry said over and over again was that we really have to, in some sense, reinvent our species. That's a pretty powerful statement, but it means that we're not going to fix the world in everything that's coming at us by tuning the screws here, which is what we try to do. We try to, and of course we need to be doing it. We need to be looking at alternative energy supplies and so on and so forth, but he really felt that something more fundamental was needed, a real shift in who we are and what we are. And, in fact, Irvin Laszlo, the same thing. You'll notice this book, The Dreamer of the Earth, at the top of the book it says a world shift book. And Irvin Laszlo has been strongly advocating for a number of years now that we need a shift in consciousness. And what that means to Irvin Laszlo is a shift to a kind of consciousness where we're much more aware of our common connection as human beings. He often used the sort of poetic metaphor, goes all the way back to William James, that we're all like islands in the ocean, but underneath we're all part of the same substrata, that we're all connected underneath, and we're so in some sense, and that we're really all part of a common heritage and part of a common spirit and even a common consciousness. And Irvin is working his best to, and in fact, this was the point of starting the Club of Budapest, was to bring together well-known people, politicians, performers, artists, and so on, scientists, and work towards this shift, what he called world shift.
Mm-hmm.
That's very much in the spirit of Thomas Berry, I think, although Thomas Berry wasn't directly involved. It's the sort of thing he was talking about when he said, we need to reinvent our species. A very powerful statement. It's not about just fixing things around the edges.
Right. I like one of the comments in the book talking about academic barbarism. And I'm just going to quote his words, which he loved. To a land of educational responsibility where the power of knowledge is subsumed to the greater common good, where PhDs, instead of destroying the earth, are employing wisdom to save the earth and her beauty. He leads us out of a land of psychologicalism, where disenchantment, cynicism, trivia, inertia, violence, commercialism, and what Thomas calls the illusionary world of advertising reign, into a land where enchantment, beauty, wonder, and intimacy become our values, a place where caring matters. And I think that the depth of what he was trying to communicate through his life, Thomas Berry, was really asking us to wake up. Be aware that you really make a difference. And if the individual will take a positioning of responsibility and move forward and just do what they can and be an example to the children, be a good mentor for others.
Yes.
Being the example is important, and Thomas Berry felt that that was so necessary. And I think that's one of the things that the younger generation really wants, is good examples, good mentors.
I couldn't agree more. That's right.
They want this. And sadly, a lot of the things that are put out there, they get a lot of the promotion and publicity, the mentoring example is pathetic.
Yes.
It really is pathetic. So I think that Thomas Berry really wanted to be able to leave a legacy to those that were able to listen to what he had to say, to say, please stand up, please be aware that if you're awake, you're consciously present with your life, and you are thinking about things and how you can do things better, it's going to have an impact on the world, just like the wings of a butterfly.
Well, that's right.
When it flies.
That's right. That's right. I was hearing him talk late in his life, because I used to live in North Carolina. He was talking to students, college students, and one of the students asked, as college students will often do, and other people too, what can I do? And he, without pausing, he said, there's work for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you do, whether you're a poet, a writer, carpenter, whether you're a plumber, whatever it is, there's work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a wonderful answer.
Well, it is the truth.
Yeah.
See, lots of times people think that bigger is better. What they don't realize is that small actions compounded, it's not unlike a bank account.
They do.
Small actions compounded bring a big result. It may take time, but you're still going to have the effect of that compounding.
Yes.
And it's a great way to look at things.
Well, this is absolutely true. We have much more influence on other people around us, just being who we are, than most people realize, or that we get credit for, because, in part, the way the news media is set up, and the way things are set up, we only hear about the bad news, and then only the big bad news. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, it turns out we're only three or four people away from anybody else in the world. You know, they talk about that, the 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It turns out that there's only three really connected, almost everyone. And we have research that shows that the kind of mood, the kind of spirit you carry, what you represent, influences people around you. Mm-hmm. And they influence people around them. It's like waves that spread out. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So to live a positive life in a positive spirit with these values in mind makes a real difference. It really does. My wife has been promoting these kinds of values for years. And now all of a sudden she's running for city council here in this little town.
Mm-hmm.
I live in. It's just amazing to see how these things spread and how they connect. Of course,
well, Thomas Berry really had an influence on people, not just in Europe, but in the United States. And I think that there is, again, a waking up to the reality that we can make this shift. We don't have to go to war over this.
No.
People of different cultures, people of different faiths, people of different attitudes, etc., we can come together and we can have a harmony and we can accomplish things that maybe even just as recent as 10 years ago, nobody would have given you 50 cents worth of time to accomplish. And we have to get past believing that whoever may be big whatever in the sky or however you want to classify it in whatever professional environment, they're just a person. They're just a business. They're just an organization. When we take personal responsibility and live with integrity, that is going to, again, have a ripple effect to the younger generation. For those of us that are mature, we are seeing massive changes that we wouldn't have even considered was going to happen.
Oh, it's true. It's certainly true.
Yeah, we thought it was going to go on forever because...
Oh, I remember when the Soviet Union crumbled. I couldn't believe it. It just, you know, within a year, it seemed to come out of nowhere. But, of course, the seeds had been planted ages ago. And, you know, we can see the same thing here. And we may be seeing it.
Mm-hmm. We are. Yeah. We are. And I think that it is really a very exciting time to be alive, because we have options that our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, and the generations before us really didn't have, because they didn't have technology. And communication is the key. Communication, education, and then application. But also an example by those of the older generation to those that are younger, so that they can be inspired, so that they can feel good about who they are, where they are, and the potential of their future. Instead of looking at it as a doomsday application, look at it as an opportunity to reverse what maybe older generations put into place.
Yeah.
And let's clean it up and roll it out.
Right. I couldn't agree more.
Alan, what's your website where people can find out more about you, what you do, and also Thomas Berry?
Well, the easiest thing is just to Google my name, which is Alan Combs, and that's spelled with two L's and two A's, so it's A-L-L-A-N. And then Combs is if you combed your hair, you had two or three combs, C-O-M-B-S. If you Google Alan Combs, I'll be one of the first things that come up. My website.
Great.
And I have my books on there, including this book, and some of my interviews, and more about me than you need to know.
Well, Alan, it's been a delight. Thank you very much. For those of you listening, the title of the book is Thomas Berry, Dreamer of the Earth. It's about the spiritual ecology of the father of environmentalism. It's much more than that. And I think that you would find the commentaries in the book by different individuals quite a good read. This is Donna Sebo. Alan, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
AlanCombs.com. Look it up. Check it out. It's just a click away. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. And if you'd like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, hey, give me a call. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then I'll be happy to answer a question that you might have. So 888-627-6008. Well, I have to tell you, I am really getting excited about this class that I'm going to be doing with Robert Newman on Saturday. For those of you who are listening in the state of Washington, the class is called Quantum Mind. We're going to be talking about feng shui. I'm going to be sharing with you how you can develop your own intuitive skills. We'll be doing interactive exercises, both Robert Newman and myself. It is something I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to this, because I love to teach, and more than that, I love to share the knowledge that I have. So this is sort of like a mini workshop of 4 hours from 10 a.m. until 2. It's this Saturday. If you would like to be a part of this, call me at my office. 253-582-5604. 253-582-5604. I'll put you down on the list, because if you booked prior to Saturday, then it's $39.95. It'll be $45 at the door. This is being held at Bridgeport Place, which is 5250 Bridgeport Way West. And doors will be open at 9:15, and we have got a wonderful entertainer, Sammy Thompson, who is going to be playing the harp. Oh, she's just dynamic. So we are going to have a wonderful time, good food, lots of positive conversation and interaction, and I'd love to have you join us. So again, call me at my office, 253-582-5604, and we'll hope to see you there. Donna Siebel here, 888-627-6008. Okay, if you got a pad of paper and a pen, well, I would suggest you grab it quickly, because we're going to be talking about lucky numbers. And I'm going to tell you in a moment just how to do it. I'm also, if we have time today, going to be sharing an awesome recipe for Cornish game hens. And this is a recipe that's so easy to use, so you'll need a pad of paper to be able to jot down the information. But first, let's talk about your lucky number. Well, there may be numbers that you're fond of. Do any of you play the lottery? Do you choose certain numbers, a birthday or what have you? Well, when you have numbers that just keep falling into your life patterning, they show up over and over and over again. Sometimes people say the numbers follow you at critical moments. Well, there are numbers, the numbers 1 to 9, that if you want to find out what your number code means, then this is what you would do. Now, let's say you have a lucky number of 39. What you want to do is you want to add the 9 and the 3 to get 12, and then you add 1 and the 2 to get a 3. So you want to get it down to a single digit. All right, I'll be coming back with it. We've got a caller on the line, so keep that pad of paper and pen handy. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Yes, it's my first time, and I'm calling in from Tacoma, Washington.
Great, and what's your first name?
Debbie.
Okay, Debbie, that's wonderful. This is great. All right, first thing that I'm looking at with you, Debbie, is you need to be aware that you have to deal with the facts. You have to keep your emotions encapsulated so that you can really be clear with an individual that is causing you a lot of agitation. And this is a person that could be a member of your family. They seem to be in your environment off and on. It could be a friend. And it's as if you feel like they are a two-sided coin. They're not consistent. Well, this is their patterning, and their patterning has evolved because of a sense of insecurity. So if you feel like things are not really being presented the way they should be, get the facts. Don't let your emotions or your imagination take you on a journey, because in dealing with this individual, all you need to remember is that if you keep yourself focused and if you keep yourself well-centered dealing with the facts, not the emotions, but with the facts, you're going to be able to have a communication capacity with this person that nobody else has. And you'll be able to get results with this individual as far as interacting with them that nobody else is able to get. And, in fact, this individual doesn't seem to have a whole bunch of friends around them. So I think what's going on here in the bigger picture is that you're a pretty skilled communicator. You want to become even better as a communicator. And as I'm observing you, these experiences that you are going to grow through, like learning how to deal with the facts, keeping the emotion out of the picture, it's going to enable you to think with an efficiency and communicate with people in a manner that has the caring side, but yet you're saying, come on, let's deal with the facts. So I think that professionally you are in a patterning where you're making a shift. You're not quite there yet. It's going to take about 2 years, actually, to complete the shift. But you're going to be able to do this. And this experience that I was describing right at the beginning is part of the process of your learning. So I don't want you to beat yourself up if you feel like you're not getting it right away. You are learning how to think things about things differently, and you're learning how to reframe your communication with others so that you get the result that you want. What question would you like to ask me today?
I wanted to know about my gums, what's causing the problem, and I just went to the dentist, and they gave me some antibiotics, and I'm wondering if that's going to help.
Well, I think it will to a point, because the situation with the gums has been going on for a long time. And part of it has to do with what I feel is like a low-grade infection in the body. And it has worked its way into the jaw area. So this is something I'd like you to consider trying. And that is, go to your pharmacist and buy some hydrogen peroxide. It's like 3%. And I'd like for you to consider rinsing your mouth out with it. All you need is like not even a half a teaspoon. Just put it in your mouth. You do not swallow it, but just rinse your mouth out with it. And it'll foam up and bubble in your mouth. And then spit it out. Now, what happens is the hydrogen peroxide is something that is such an inexpensive way of helping the bacteria level in the mouth to balance out. It's simple. It doesn't harm you. But again, you don't swallow it. You just rinse and spit. That doesn't sound too glamorous, does it? But that's what you do.
That's okay.
And allow it to do its work. Then what I want you to do, I want you to pay attention to your body. And I'll tell you why. Physically, you have not been up to par. You have been run down. You have not been paying attention to your own wellness, to the balance of your body. And you have a lousy dietary pattern that you've been following. You need to honor and respect your body and start educating yourself on things that you can do to assist the body to maintain wellness. Now, another very simple thing that you can do, you can go to your health food store, and you can buy something like alfalfa, powdered alfalfa. And it tastes like grass. I mean, that's what alfalfa is, but it's nutrient-rich. Mm-hmm. You need to have more greens in your diet. And if you're not real big on vegetables, you can take them or leave them, according to what I'm looking at. They're not that big a deal with you. But if you did something like alfalfa and mixed it in with a little bit of apple juice, and then just, you can buy it powdered, you're going to give your body some nutrients that it can work with. And that's just an example. Don't take my word for it. I want you to start educating yourself so that you can get your body back into condition. Am I making sense?
Okay. You are. You are. So you think I can do it?
Well, I know you can do it.
I can get back into shape.
I know you
okay,
can do
good.
It. And it's not the fact that you're going to become a marathoner or a super athlete of the year. If you wanted to do that, that's wonderful. But that's not your objective. You need to really honor and respect this chassis that you've got, because your body's giving you these signals. But this, where the antibiotic has been given to you, I think was the right decision, because you do have an infection. But you want to help the body help itself.
Okay.
And I'd like for you to consider coming to the class on Saturday. I know you're in Tacoma, and this is in University Place. So if you have a chance and you'd like to come.
That's where I live. Oh, I'm going to be in L.A. this weekend. When are you going to have another one?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Shoot.
But it's going to be a doozy. So tell your friends about it, because we've got a limitation of 25 people, and it's not totally filled. So if you know of any friends that would like to come, have them give me a call.
Okay. Is it on your website? Is that where you find it?
Yes, it is. It's on the website. Then call the office, and the number is 253-582-5604.
Okay, I will. I will tell
all
somebody.
Right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you
honey.
So much.
It's a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be going on break pretty soon. But, hey, if you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be hearing Lou Paradise in just a moment talking about Topperson. This stuff really works. And I will tell you something. If you want relief and you want to save money, all you have to do is go to Topperson.com, and you can order online or call their office directly. You'll get a 30% discount if you give them the code DS30. DS30, that's an abbreviation for Donna Sebo, 30. Give them that. You will get a 30% discount. Their 800 number is 959-1007. Go to Topperson.com. We're taking a break, and I'm going to be coming back in just a minute to share with you the stuff about numerology and, if we have time, the recipe for Cornish game hens. Yum. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, have you got a favorite number? All right. It needs to be between 1 and 9. But again, if you have a favorite number, you say, oh, 11 is my favorite. Well, add the 1 and 1 equals 2. If 45 is your favorite, well, 4 and 5 equal 9. So that's what you need to do. You need to combine them. Okay, have you done that? Great. So here are what the interpretations of these numbers are. Your lucky number, whatever that might be, the hidden message in your lucky number. If your lucky number ends up being a 1, it means you're a go-getter. It represents leadership. And if you really like the number 1, you have no problem taking action. And you're very charismatic. People gravitate towards you. And wherever you're going and whatever you're selling or whatever you're doing, people say, yes, we're right behind you. Okay, what if it's number 2? The number 2 represents harmony and balance. It means that you have a diplomatic kind of personality, and you're very kind, you're very sensitive, and man alive, you don't lie. You're scrupulously fair about everything you do. People think you might be a little indecisive, but you really have a gift of communicating, and you are an excellent, excellent listener, and you want to listen because you really want to find out about people. And so then they're very supportive of you because they go, wow, someone that's really at that, you know, patterning, it's great. So this is something you like to find common ground with people. It's a strength of yours. If number 3 is your strong number or their favorite number, intuition. You're extremely creative. You're very resourceful. You can take just about anything and make it work. You like to transform things into something bigger, better, and just who you are. You really feel that you are lucky, too. You feel like this is something. Your life is so blessed, and you've got so many good things that come your way. So number 3 is your favorite. That's what it is. Number 4, stability. Boy, you are grounded. No nonsense. You have a very strong foundation in your life. You know, you're dependable. You are so supportive of others. And you have that grip on reality that lots of times other people may not have. They may go off into fairyland, not you. You really, really are down to earth, and you are so stable and so steady. People just know that they can depend on you. 5, that's a number of expansion. You like adventure. Yes, you're the people that be out there in the White River rafts or do the hot air ballooners or whatever. You're saying, yes, I want to always look for something new. I believe that there's always something more that I can explore. I love the adventure. Now, you're very impetuous at times, but it could get you in trouble. However, for some reason, you always, like a cat, you manage to land on your feet. And if number 5 is that strength number of yours that you just seem to see 5s everywhere you turn, well, don't feel like you're in a rut, because if you are, you're going to be getting out pretty soon by your own inventiveness. Number 6 represents compassion. You're a very nurturing person. You like helping other people, but you also have the capacity to look at the bigger picture and understand what it takes to make it come into fruition. Now, you're not a pushover, but by golly, you are someone, you're very much concerned about what goes on in life, and you like being that example to others about how one person can make a difference. If 7 is your favorite number, you love mystery, you're a searcher. Those that are gravitating towards the number 7 always want to look for more than just what's on the surface. They want to go deep, deep down. You are the type of person that likes to be inventive. You're a dreamer. You're not afraid to take and look at more than one side of a situation. So you need to support your curiosity. You need to enjoy this part of your side, your personality. Number eight, if that's your number that you're drawn to, it means success. You're very dynamic. You have a lot of energy. You're very determined. And you know what? Sooner or later, things pay off for you because you have the persistence and determination to make it happen. And you're able to spot opportunities and sometimes the most unusual situations. And those of you that find the number nine is really strong in your place, completion. You really have taken what you've learned from life and you say, I can make this benefit others. You have a lot of experience. You're someone that is going to be recognized for what you've achieved and accomplished. Maybe not right away, but it is yours. Those that gravitate towards the number nine, by golly, you're going to achieve the recognition that you really want. So that's the aspect of numerology. Okay, and telephone number to call into 888-627-6008. All right, here you go with that next pad of paper and pen section, the honey-glazed Cornish hens. You know, I was watching a program earlier. I love cooking shows. And I was watching a program earlier about working with turkeys because the holidays are going to be coming up, and so they were giving all kinds of information. Well, sometimes we don't want to fix a turkey. I've had people say, I don't like turkey. I really don't want it. So what's an alternative? If you don't want to fix chicken, you can have Cornish game hens, or you can have duck. Well, Cornish game hens are just absolutely wonderful to fix. And if you have six people, you can split three of them in half. Or if you've really got hearty appetites, because they are little birds, you can give one bird for each person. So here is something that I thought was so simple. If you're like me, you're always looking for something that can make a difference in flavor. This is all the ingredients that you're going to have. A quarter of a cup of honey, a quarter of a cup of Italian salad dressing. Remember, a quarter cup of honey, a quarter of a cup of Italian salad dressing. And you're going to need three Cornish game hens. They'll weigh about a pound, pound and a half each. And then you're going to need about 2 teaspoons of Montreal chicken seasoning, and then a teaspoon of paprika. This is how simple this is. You can preheat your oven to 375 degrees, and if you want, you can truss the hens up so that the drumsticks and everything stay in place. Now, in a small bowl, you're going to combine your honey and your salad dressing, put that to the side. You're going to put your hens on a rack set in your large roasting pan, and you're going to stir the chicken seasoning with the paprika. And then you want to divide it evenly so that you can sprinkle the seasoning over your Cornish game hens. Now, you're going to want to then put your ovens, you're going to put your hens into the oven. You're going to roast the meat until it gets to about 180 degrees Fahrenheit. Use a meat thermometer to check it. The juices will run clear when you pierce the Cornish hen with a fork. It takes about an hour and 20 minutes. You're going to want to then brush twice with the honey mixture during the last 20 minutes of roasting time, and it's going to give this wonderful, wonderful glaze on the chicken. And when you take the hens out, then all you have to do is let them rest for about 10 minutes, because in the resting, all the juices stay right inside the bird, which is what you want. If you find they are browning too quickly, take a piece of foil, put them over the chicken and the Cornish game hens. It's not the chicken, it's the Cornish game hens, and that'll keep the browning from becoming too much if you find that that's what's the case. And this could serve six people, or as I said, if you've got people with hearty appetites, give them the whole bird. Regardless, it's wonderfully easy. And I'll give you another quick decorating tip. You can take grapes, and if you have egg white, whip the egg white up really until it's in a froth. You can do that quickly with a fork. Dip grapes into the egg white and then sprinkle it with sugar. Roll it into sugar, and you have these wonderful crystal glazed grapes that you can use as part of the decoration on the platter when you serve these beautiful Cornish game hens. And, you know, maybe a little bit of other dark green leafy something or other that you can put on there. Use your imagination. It's so much fun. But the holidays, hey, you don't have to have turkey if you don't want it. You can have honey glazed Cornish hens. And this also, you can use this honey glaze, if you like, on a pork loin. Works very nicely. Well, my goodness, we're out of time. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about music. Diva Haley is going to be our guest. We're going to be talking about sacred alchemy. This is beautiful music, very vibrant. She's a doll. I know you'll enjoy it. Hope to be with you tomorrow. Remember always, the master of your fate, you are the captain of your soul. Enjoy life. It's a wonderful gift. It's yours to savor. But you have to choose how you're going to do that. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.